going to the book of 2 Peter. It's almost all the way in the back of your Bible. If you get to Revelation, obviously you've gone too far, so go a couple books to the left. And we are going to go to 2 Peter chapter 3, and I am going to read verses 10 through 14. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. And God's word says this, starting with verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, as we continue through this Advent season, Father, our word today is peace, and we know that your word has a lot to say about peace, and that's what we want to learn today, Lord. We want to learn more about your peace, not so much world peace, but your peace, the peace that you provide. So, Father, as we read these scriptures, as we listen to this message, Father, may we all understand a little more about the peace that your Son, Jesus Christ, offers to all of us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. We are in the church season of Advent, and we are in a sermon series that I have titled, The Christ is Coming Back. As believers, we tend to focus our attention on the birth of Christ during this time, because the season of Advent is just before Christmas, the 4 weeks prior. But as New Testament believers, as New Covenant believers, that is really not the way that we should look at Advent. I said last week that the New Testament believer, today we are not anticipating the birth of Jesus, are we? We're not anticipating his birth because why? It's already happened. The New Testament believer is anticipating what? We are anticipating the return of Jesus Christ. The Christ is coming back. Last week we kicked off this series with the word hope. That was our first word. Hope, as written in the Bible, specifically in Romans chapter 5, it is a noun and it's not a verb. The believer has hope. Christ is our hope. Our hope is in the return of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that our hope will not disappoint us. Trust me, Jesus Christ says he will return. He will return. Jesus never breaks a promise. And remember this too. Only a true believer can have the type of hope that the Bible talks about. There is no hope for the unbeliever that is described in the Bible. Our hope, any hope that an unbeliever may have, is going to be in something else or in someone else. And that someone else is other than Jesus Christ. And if you put your hope in something or something other than Jesus, you have no hope at all. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, talks about something called the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit that the Bible talks about, these are attributes of a believer. And there are 9 of them, and we're not going to cover them all, but that is going to be one of our sermon series we'll have for next year. But did you notice that hope is not a fruit of the Spirit? Why not? Well, because hope is not an emotion a believer has, or the manner in which a believer behaves. Hope is the certainty of future events for the believer. The fruit of the Spirit is what follows this hope and identifies the believer. It becomes the manner in which a believer behaves, in which a believer is supposed to act. So for today and for the next 2 Sundays, our Advent word for the day is going to be one of those words. It's going to be the fruit of the Spirit. And today's word is going to be the word peace. Well, when you entered the sanctuary today, or I would hope that at some point in time you were given this blue-colored ribbon, which represents peace. Last week we had a green ribbon representing hope. This week will be a blue one representing peace. And I suggest that you keep it in a place somewhere that you can be reminded of that the true believer will always have peace in his or her life. So what is peace? Webster defines the word peace as this, and this is written in your bulletin: a state of tranquility or quiet. A state of tranquility or quiet. If the believer, this is where we're going to go this morning. If the believer is to have peace, which is the fruit of the Spirit, which every believer should have all the fruit of the Spirit, I ask, do we have peace? Do you have peace in your life? Do you have tranquility in your life? Do you have quiet in your life? I think we could all agree that living a tranquil and peaceful life in the 21st century can be difficult. We have busy lives, don't we? Most of us do, if not all of us. We have job issues. We have family issues. We have financial issues. We have health issues. We have relationship issues. We have haunting memories from the past. The unexpected happens. And any or all of these issues can prevent us from having peace in our lives. But what does Jesus say about our anything but tranquil lives that we may be leading at any given time? In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says this: I have told you those things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. With those words, we can conclude this. Jesus never says that we won't have trouble in our lives. He says it. In this world you will have what? Trouble. It is going to happen. We will have busy lives. And we will have job issues. And we will have family issues. And we will have financial issues. And we will have health issues. And we will have relationship issues. And we will always have those haunting memories from the past. And the unexpected always seems to just happen. The question is this: as a Christian, how do we deal with these issues when they occur? And they will occur. Would you like to handle difficult situations in a more peaceful manner? I hope so. I know I would. And the Bible gives us direction on how to take a difficult situation and be at peace with that difficult situation. So in our bulletins, we have 4 fill-in-the-blanks. Let's let the Bible step us through these, of ways that we can take a difficult situation and turn that into a peaceful, tranquil, and quiet situation. Our first fill in the blank is this. To have peace, we must seek His righteousness. Seek His righteousness. Well, what does it mean to seek His righteousness? It means that we have this longing inside us to become more Christ-like. It means we strive for a lifestyle of holiness. It means we go more often to God with a sincere confession of our sins that we have committed. And in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, Jesus tells us not to worry. Not to worry. I got to tell you just a quick little story of something that happened to me after the service last week. John Parker Thompson was sitting right over there. And at the end of the service, John Parker comes up to me and he says this, "Pastor Mike, would you like for me to stand in front of the congregation sometime and tell the congregation about worry? Because you know, Pastor Mike, worry is a sin and we shouldn't be worrying." He just might be my replacement when I leave here. So someday, John Parker is going to be up here, a little 10-year-old or 11-year-old, how old is he now? He'll be 11 in January, telling all of us grown-ups, don't worry. But we're told not to worry. Let me ask this, can we have worry and can we have peace at the same time? I don't think so. We're either going to worry or we're going to have peace. They just don't coincide at the same time. And what does Jesus tell us in 6:33, Matthew 6:33, to help overcome this worry? He says this, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." What things will be given to us as well? The peace that we are looking for. So when we focus on God and on His kingdom, here's where worry used to be, and here's God's kingdom and His righteousness, and we need to trade those. We need to put God's kingdom and His righteousness first in our lives. And when we do that, our worries start take a back seat, and they're on the back burner, and we don't worry about them as much. Another Bible directive to get us past this thing called worry and anxiety is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. And God's word says this, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." So our second fill in the blank, to have peace, we must humble ourselves. We must humble ourselves. What does that mean? I think this is exactly what it means. To humble ourselves means this. Sometimes us human beings, all of us, we try to fix things that are not within our control. It's like me trying to fix a plumbing issue at my house. That is not going to happen. I'm going to take a situation that's bad and make it worse. And we get even more frustrated, and we get even more anxious, and we worry even that much more when we are in a situation and we can't fix it. It's out of our control. And God's word says this, we need to humble ourselves, admit we can't fix the situation, and we give it over to who? Give it to God. Put it in His hands. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. When's due time? When we're worrying, when we're anxious, when we're going through difficult times. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because why? He cares for you. He's big enough to take care of all of your worries and all your anxieties. All of hers, all of mine, all of Gail's, all of Robin's. Everybody's, not only in the sanctuary, He's big enough to take care of everybody's anxieties. And how does God do that? Well, sometimes He just gives those things over to a real plumber, if you know what I mean. That's how he fixes those things. Why should I worry about a plumbing issue in my house when I go to God? God, what do? Call a plumber. A third Bible directive to get past our worry and our anxiety, to have this peace that Jesus is talking about, is found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And that's where we'll spend the rest of our time. And those two verses say this: do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So our third fill in the blank would be this. We got two blanks there. To have peace, we present our request to God through prayer and petition. Through prayer and petition. I think this one kind of gets back to the one we just talked about. Sometimes we don't go to God with prayer and petition because we're trying to fix these things all by ourselves. But the Word of God says, don't do that. Give them to me. Sometimes we just need to get off our feet, and sometimes we need to be on our knees and have a conversation with God about the things in our lives that need some peace. And he knows what we need before we ever ask them, doesn't he? But do we ever ask? Here's something that I hear a lot of people say. Oh, that's not big enough to give to God. That's not big enough to give. Why should? Oh, I can take care of it. It's not big enough to give to God. Everything's big enough to give to God. And everything is small enough to give to God. God doesn't care if it's big or small. If it concerns us, it concerns him. But do we ever ask? Let's get back to John 16:33. What does Jesus say? In this world you will have what? Trouble. You will have trouble. But Jesus promises what? In replace of trouble, he offers his, what's the P word? Peace. When we're praying for things, let's say we have this situation going on in our life right here. Sure, we pray for this situation, don't we? And we always do. We come in a prayer circle, we pray for situations, we pray for a health situation, we pray for a number of different things. We pray for the situation. But let me take that a step further. Do we ever pray for peace throughout that situation? Well, Lord, I'm going through this. I'm going through this difficulty and with a relationship issue or this health issue or whatever it might be. And Lord, can you take care of it for me? There's nothing wrong in doing that. But do we also pray for, Lord, as I'm going through it, guess what else I need? Can I have your peace? Because in this world, you will have trouble. And I'm going through trouble. But what about the peace that you promised, Lord? I'm going to pray for that too. Have we ever prayed for peace? And our fourth fill in the blank. To have peace, we present our request by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. That's what the word says. With thanksgiving. Well, what does that mean? And let me try to explain this as simply as I can. As Christians, we have hope. Amen? We have hope. We talked about that last week. And what is hope? Hope is the object that I expect to obtain. And in the Bible, it is expectation with certainty. And it is certainty because of a promise. So why do I pray with thanksgiving? Because Philippians 4:7 is a promise, which is a certainty, which gives me expectation of something that I expect to obtain. And what is that something that I expect to obtain? And the peace of God, that verse starts off saying, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. That when I go to God with thanksgiving, I'm thanking Him because I know that He will guard my heart with His peace. And that peace will do just that. It will guard our hearts. When we worry and when we are anxious, it's as if our hearts are open and vulnerable to anything and everything. And every little thing just seems to make it worse. We've all been through those times. And sometimes we just feel like our heart is getting stomped on by the world and all those situations that are going on around us. This thing that we call our heart, it needs protected. And that, my friends, is exactly what God's peace says it will do for us. I assure you, world peace that everybody wants, that will never guard your heart. And I assure you one thing, world peace, it's never going to happen until Jesus comes back. Only God's peace is going to guard anybody's heart. Now, you might be asking yourself right now, well Mike, this is good stuff. I like this. I needed this. I need to pursue this and really go with this. But what does all this have to do with Christ returning? I thought this thing about Advent that you're preaching about this time is going to talk about Christ coming back. Well, it does. So let me put the two of those together. Our scripture text for today from 2 Peter chapter 3 speaks about end times and how the heavens and the earth are going to be destroyed by fire, and Peter lists all those things. But verse 14 of that text says this: "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this," let me just stop right there. We are, in a way, looking forward to the destruction of this, aren't we? Because after this comes what? A new what? Heaven? And a new what? A new earth? Let me ask you a simple question. Which one would you rather be a part of? This one or the new one? We need to be looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, and I know I am, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. The only way that we're going to appreciate a new heaven and earth is if we're going to be a part of that new heaven and new earth. So I ask, have you given your life over to Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life and the Savior of your life? Because when all this disappears, guess what? You got two directions to go: up or down, smoking or non-smoking, heaven or hell. And that's judgment. Sorry, my friends, there is no purgatory and there is no limbo and there is no purging time. It has come to man once to be judged. Where are you going? Eternity's a long time, my friends. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him, because the Christ is coming back. So, are you at peace with Christ here today? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if this happened right now, if the destruction of this world happened right now, you would be in eternity with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I'm going to ask the same question two times. I'm going to look at it from a negative point of view, then I'm going to look at it from a positive point of view, and we'll end with this. Or maybe they're statements. If we can't trust Jesus Christ to give us peace with our daily issues, our daily anxieties and worries, how can we trust Jesus Christ for our eternity when He returns for us? Now let me kind of look at that backwards in a more positive way. If we trust Jesus Christ with our lives and our eternity when He returns for us, shouldn't we trust Jesus Christ with our daily issues and our anxieties and our worries? The same Jesus that paves the way for eternal life is the same Jesus that says, I got some peace for you. Do you want to try it yourself? Or would you like to turn it over to me and I'll handle it for you? Peace. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Peace. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Peace. Present your request to God through prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Peace. It's not just a Christmas thing. It's a Christian thing. Next week, we're going to bring some joy into our lives. Hey, this is getting better, isn't it? Hope, peace, joy. And who knows what the fourth one is? Love. Very good. Let's go to God in prayer.